The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been following along over these past 5 weeks, you know that we've been embracing some of the great biblical texts about the liberating nature of God. First, the story of the Exodus, of God hearing the cries of the Israelites, and God calling Moses through that burning bush and saying, "I have heard the cries of my people. I will set them free." And then we heard about how Jesus came onto the scene in the Gospel of Luke, in his, what they call the inaugural address. In Luke, you see, we have all these great texts of reversal. We have Mary's Magnificat, where the rich will be sent away empty and the poor lifted up. And we have the birth of Christ in Luke 2, where Jesus shows up where no one would expect God to send God's Son to make an arrival as an infant in a feed trough, announced to shepherds by angels, by hosts of angels. This story gets wilder and wilder. So Jesus is baptized and announced to be the precious Son of God. And then Jesus is sent into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and then tempted by none other than the devil himself. And when Jesus comes away victorious from that temptation, he goes to his hometown temple. And he reads from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Jesus connects to the prophet Isaiah from 700 some years prior and connects really to that Exodus story of God hearing the cries of the people and setting them free. And then we heard about Jesus' passion predictions. Three times in three Gospels, Jesus announces to the disciples that he is going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the religious elders, the scribes. He is going to be put to death. And in 3 days, he's going to rise again. Three times in three Gospels, Jesus is trying to get the point across that he is headed to Jerusalem, and it's not going to be pleasant. Will you be my follower? If so, then the first need to be last, and the last need to be first. We are liberated by the cross of Jesus Christ. Last week, we heard about being liberated by reconciliation. First, Joseph and his brothers. His brothers, who've treated him so terribly, come groveling back. Dad said, now Dad's dead, but they claim Dad said, don't hurt us. Take good care of us. And Joseph says, am I in the place of God? Of course I will take care of you. You meant it for evil. God intended it for good. And the story of the prodigal and his father and the resentful brother. The prodigal son was set free. Liberated by reconciliation with the Father, as we are, when we ask God to receive us back after we've strayed, after we've wandered and squandered, and our Heavenly Father comes running back to greet us. God is so good. And so today we wrap this up with Matthew 25. God liberates us when we participate in the lives of the least. Bev, that anthem was so perfect for today. You would think Bev and I spend a lot of time together planning these things. More so, it's Bev and I and the Holy Spirit cooking up what God's got going next for us. But God of the least, indeed. God sees his dear children through mercy-filled eyes. You don't see a lot of mercy show up on the television news, do you? It's almost like human beings are portrayed without mercy in their character. And certainly even leaders. But this chapter from Matthew that asks us, pleads us to seek out the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, or in prison, and participate in their lives. This is a big deal. And there are Christians all over the world, particularly in the wealthiest countries of the world, that ignore this text. They say, well, that doesn't really pertain to us. Or they find loopholes to say, well, not those sick or hungry or naked or in prison. Do you know when this text shows up in our lectionary? Remember when I said John 8 is Reformation Sunday, where we celebrate the freedom of Christ? Well, this text shows up on Christ the King Sunday. The Sunday we celebrate Jesus as exalted ruler of heaven and earth. It brings us back down to this. Have you participated in the lives of the least? Christians for generations have tried to find loopholes in this text. Did you know? In the early 1800s, there was a Bible published. It was called the Slave Bible. And the title page read, Parts of the Holy Bible Selected for Those of the Negro Slaves in the British West India Islands. Because, of course, slave owners cared deeply about the spiritual affairs of their slaves. What does this Bible contain? Well, it does not contain 90% of the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. It does not contain 50% of our New Testament. It includes verses like, servants, be obedient to your masters, but does not include, there is neither slave nor free. It excludes all of the Psalms because certainly you don't want to be giving people hope in situations of oppression. It leaves out the whole story of Exodus, but includes the law given on the mountain. Do you see? The Bible is the most outrageously liberating text on earth. And you have to chisel out a lot of it to make it not be so. Christ comes to set us free. But it's not just us, like me and my salvation. This text in Matthew 25 is translated in a very individualistic way. But when you see the word people in that text, Bruce, Vince, Bob, you can attest to this. It means the nations. It's not just individuals who turn their back on the poor, the hungry, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. But the nations themselves will be judged on how they view these people. We have a lot of repenting to do. And we need to call each other to repentance. Because in this text, when the people say, "When did we see you a stranger and not welcome you, naked and not give you clothing, sick and in prison and not visit you?" Jesus says, "When you didn't do it to the least of these." This is the clearest, boldest judgment of Jesus in the Gospels. I can't say it any more clearly. But when did we see you, Jesus? When you served the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Those of you who've been in this congregation for a long time, or at least the last 6 years, know that I didn't serve a church for 2 years before I came here. I sold insurance and I worked for Office Max because I was waiting to serve a church that took Matthew 25 seriously. I worked minimum wage because I didn't want to serve one more clubhouse. Church, you are a Matthew 25 church. You feed the hungry. Some of you even know the names of the homeless. This morning we have an in-gathering of gifts. Our own Connie Wessels, who works over at OSF, arranged an in-gathering. Their staff all brought items for our homeless bags. We make up homeless kits. That was a one-time thing around Christmas, and then we discovered the real need. So those homeless kits that have protein bars and salty things and things to wash yourself and hats and mittens this season, those are going out in our community. All the Jihas ambulances have them. Both the hospitals have them. Kelly Cheeseman's taking them to the courthouse for folks on parole and things like that. We're starting to see. Our quilters make quilts every Tuesday when it's not storming and icy. They don't know exactly where those quilts are going. You know, if you have a quilter in your family, they make quilts for specific people that they love very much. And they're like, "I got this plan for this person's quilt. Like, this grandchild is getting this." Does your baby have quilts? Yeah, because people love that baby and they love you. Our quilters make quilts for people they don't even know. Because they know somebody needs to be warm. Every stitch, every knot is made with love. And quite a bit of coffee. Friends in Christ, this is what it is, though, to serve Jesus, to see Jesus. When did we see you, Jesus? It's in the homeless people that come into the church office. You know, once I started looking at those visits as not an interruption of the day, but wow, Jesus was just here, my ministry changed. Jesus is in you. In your lowest days. It's not just out there. It's not just waiting for encounters. But Jesus is in you. Carl Jung once said that "I feed the hungry Forgive an insult and love my enemy. These are great virtues. But what if I should discover that the poorest of beggars and most impudent of offenders are all within me, and that I stand in need of the alms of my own kindness, that I myself am the enemy who must be loved? What then? Jesus is in us too. Be gentle with yourselves. Be forgiving of yourselves. Be merciful with yourselves as well. Because in doing so, it expands our ability to love and show mercy and allows us to better love our neighbors as well. Our God is a liberating God. To heal the oppressed, to set the poor free, the hungry fed. To come to you in your place of distress. That you might serve others in theirs. You are a Matthew 25 church. And God loves you. Keep looking for Jesus in all those places that the world thinks he's not. And the joy of God will keep you in the peace that passes all understanding.